Good afternoon. Welcome to another Daily Devotion. This is episode 163. It's great to be together again, where we open up God's Word for 15 minutes and see what God has to say. But before we turn back to the Gospel of Matthew again, let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your rich Word, and we pray that as we turn to it, you would bless it to our hearts, helping us to see Christ, savor Christ, know Christ, love Christ, and become more like him. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you have your Bibles with you this afternoon, we're turning to the Gospel of Matthew, and we're going to be reading through chapter 3, John the Baptist. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, when he said, 'The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight.' Now, John wore a garment of camel's hair, and a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region about the Jordan were going out to him, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, 'You brood of vipers! Who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not presume to say to yourselves, "We have Abraham as our father." For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children for Abraham. Even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. I baptize you... Sorry, I already read that part, didn't I? Yeah. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to John, to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." Then he consented. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." Yesterday we looked at the impact, or not yesterday, the day before that, we looked at the impact of the gospel, or the impact of Jesus Christ and his birth upon a group of people, upon three groups of people, actually. Now, today, this is almost like a transition section. It's a transition before Jesus enters his ministry. It's a time of preparation. It's a preparation transition. And John the Baptist comes as the preparer. He's been sent to do some preparing. But it begins by John preparing himself. And so we see at the beginning of the chapter, John the Baptist comes preaching in the wilderness of Judea. But he comes in a specific way, doesn't he? He comes, as we see in verse 4, with a garment of camel hair and a leather belt around his waist. And he's only eating locusts and wild honey. It's a very particular diet. It's probably not one of the diets that has been tried. You know how sometimes you get the Daniel diet, you get all these fad diets that come from the Bible. I don't think I've ever heard anyone saying, "I'm doing the John the Baptist diet, locusts and honey, and only the wild ones." It's pretty challenging in a country where you don't really get many locusts. But either way, he came in a specific way, and it was to highlight the fact that he was a prophet of old. You see, when you think back to the Old Testament and some of the crazy prophets, they all came in a different way, didn't they? You had Isaiah, who was a priest, and a very important priest, and had a bit of royal ability And he spoke very well and wrote very well. Then you had the likes of Amos, who's basically just a farmer, who writes with, I guess, a poor education. And then you've got people like Ezekiel, who dress funny, cut their hair funny, shave their beard off in a funny manner, have to walk around naked and lie on their side. So each prophet was unique and special, but you could always tell they were a prophet of God. And so here we see John in his own peculiar way appearing on the scene. He's a man who's been set aside, as we remember from the other Gospels. He's, if you look at Luke, he's set aside by an angel. Elizabeth is not to drink and eat certain things. He is to be clean because he's set aside by God for a very important mission. And that is the mission of preparing a people for the day of God's visitation. So he comes to prepare people. He prepares himself for mission, and then he prepares the people. And so we see in verse 3, this is the one who is crying, prepare the way for the Lord, make his paths straight. So he's preparing the people to be ready for the day of the Lord. So we see in verse 5 onwards, he's preaching, and all the people are coming out to him. And what's he doing? He's baptizing them in the river, and he's having them confess their sins. It's a baptism of repentance. Now, don't confuse this with the baptism that we find in the church. These are a different baptism. So the baptism of John was a baptism marking, it was like an Old Testament marking, that the people were returning themselves to follow Yahweh faithfully. It wasn't entrance into a covenant. The baptism is a sign of the new covenant. They didn't need a sign of the new covenant. Not then. They didn't. Because they were still under the old covenant. They were circumcised. And that was the sign of the old covenant. But here John comes, preparing them for the coming of a Messiah. And so the Pharisees and Sadducees come out. And notice how John rebukes them. Why does he rebuke them? He rebukes them because they're not ready for the coming day of the Lord. You see, if you look at verse 9, it's hinted at. Do not presume and say to yourselves, I have Abraham. We have Abraham as our father, because God can raise up children from stones. Even now the axe is laid at the root, and it's going to cut down the tree that doesn't produce good fruit. So the point is, these Pharisees and Sadducees were relying upon things, heritage, tradition, pseudo-righteousness, hypocrisy, false religiosity. And all of the things they were relying on were things that would make it hard for them to receive the Messiah when he comes. You see the point there? John's preparing people for the coming of the Messiah. And here is this group of people who I guess have the opposite type of heart of what is needed of someone who's going to receive the coming Messiah. And so John warns them. He says, start confessing and living appropriately so that when the Messiah comes, you'll be ready to receive him. John's goal is to make sure everyone is ready to receive the Messiah when he comes. And so he tells them, I baptize with water for repentance. Oh, but there's one coming who's far greater than I am, and he will baptize with the Holy Spirit and fire. Now, what is Holy Spirit and fire? Well, the fire is a picture of judgment. That's why he talks about, straight after it, the unquenchable fire. In other words, he's going to come and he's going to baptize some people with the Holy Spirit. He's going to pour out grace upon some. But upon others, he will pour out judgment. He will be the judgment. He will be the dividing line between those who are saved and those who aren't. And then lastly, he prepares Jesus. So he prepares himself, he prepares the people, and then he prepares the Messiah. Jesus turns up on the scene. We know the story well, don't we? Jesus turns up on the scene, And John basically says, I don't want to baptize you. I know who you are. As he says in the Gospel of John, you're the Lamb of God. Behold, the Lamb of God who will take away the sins of the world. I shouldn't be baptizing you. That's preposterous. You should be baptizing me. You are the Messiah. You're the Christ. I am the servant. I'm preparing everybody for you. But Jesus says, no. Let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Now, what does he mean? What does he mean when he says that it must be done in order to fulfill all righteousness? Now, we know Jesus was perfect. He didn't need to be baptized, did he? He didn't need to receive a baptism of repentance because he had nothing to repent of. So how is this a completing or a fulfilling or a perfecting of righteousness? Well, I think there's two things. One is fulfilling the law, but that's a far minor reality. I think that what's really going on here is it's pointing to something far greater. And that is what Jesus came to do and be. Jesus came to be identified with sinners. And so here at his baptism, he is being washed, he is being baptized in the same filthy water that every other sinner is being baptized in. It's a picture of what Jesus came to do, and it's a picture of what he came to be. In order for righteousness to be fulfilled, in order for righteousness to be perfected and to be given to sinners, he had to be identified with sinners. He had to put on sin. Remember the passage? He who became sin, Corinthians, I think it is. He who knew no sin became sin. Why? So that we might become the righteousness of God. And so as Jesus goes and gets baptized, he identifies with sinners. He identifies with those who are being baptized and repenting, with the ones that John is preparing. So John's preparing this people, they're being baptized, and then the Messiah comes. He's been preparing them to receive this Messiah comes. The Messiah comes, and they see him get baptized too. So you have the Pharisees and the Sadducees who would refuse to get baptized. They would refuse to repent. They would stand back and judge, be hypocritical. You have the crowds who were being baptized and confessing their sins. And Jesus, the perfect one, comes. And he doesn't go to the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the self-righteous. He goes and gets baptized for the confession of sin, acknowledging that he came to save sinners. And then what does God acknowledge? As he gets baptized, we hear those beautiful words. A voice comes, the Spirit of God descends like a dove, and the voice says, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." In other words, heaven agrees. Heaven agrees. The Godhead agrees that this is what Jesus came to do. The Father sent the Son, and the Spirit is poured out upon him to prepare him and bless him for ministry. Jesus doesn't come just as God. He comes as a Spirit-filled man to carry out the mission that's been set before him. You know, one of the most important things for you and I is knowing why Jesus came. Jesus came to save sinners. Are you able to say with Paul, it is a true thing to say, Jesus came to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost? You see, it's only when you're able to acknowledge that, that your salvation is true. Let's pray. Dear God in heaven, we thank you for your love. Thank you for Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Well, thanks so much for tuning in for another daily devotion. I look forward to seeing you tomorrow for episode 164. Have a most blessed afternoon.